6:03. Let's start the meeting officially. I'll call it to order. We've got Jonathan, Barbara, Adam, and myself. That's four of us in the quorum. Stacy's here as well as Sinan. Opening round. Anybody have anything for opening round?
I finished doing a trash pickup. You might remember I had 3 years ago now adopted Midland Boulevard between Olive and Page.
Yeah.
And over the past few days, I've been doing a trash pickup, which I hadn't done for a long time. Finished today with my husband's help. And I ended up with 13 bags of trash. It was pretty bad in places.
Yes.
Amazing how many little bottles of liquor I found.
Yeah.
You know, there's just tiny ones.
So watering.
Yeah, you won't see those in my street, but I'm not near these stores that sell those things.
Yeah. And lots of masks as well, you know.
Yep, yep.
Just toss them.
When I was walking, I saw huge numbers of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Okay. Anybody have anything else? No? Okay. Approval of minutes from the last month's meeting?
I had a couple of corrections in old business under mosquito control. Jim Sayer's name is not spelled correctly. It's S-A-Y-E-R-S. And I thought it might be good to reword a couple of the sentences towards the end of the very first page. It reads, they test for the mosquitoes to detect West Nile virus and fog those areas where they are found as present. I thought it might read better to say they test for mosquitoes to determine if West Nile virus is present and spray only when it is present. And then it's not quite accurate to say that Gene Ponzi reached out to Mr. Sayers on this topic. They've actually been working together quite a lot on this. So I rewrote that to say that he, meaning Jim Sayers and Ms. Ponzi, have worked together a number of times to present info to the public on mosquito control.
And my take on the first point you just raised here about testing for the mosquitoes, the impression I got was that they're actually testing to see if the Culex mosquitoes are present, because those are the ones that carry West Nile virus.
No, they actually test them.
Right, but then they,
then
they test the Culex mosquitoes that they capture and test them for see if they're are carrying West Nile virus.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't testing all the mosquitoes West Nile.
They're
testing the Culex mosquitoes that are ones that carry the West Nile and see if those Culex mosquitoes they capture do have the West Nile or not.
Right, and then they spray.
I think that's what they're doing. Yes.
If West Nile is detected.
Right.
Yeah.
Then it's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get that, Sinan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apart from that, it looked good to me.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as modified by Barbara?
Motion.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's approved. Okay. Special presentations. There are none that I'm aware of. Citizen participation. Nobody's here. Nobody's put anything in and doing it. Okay. We don't have any new business that I'm aware of. It's not on the agenda. The old business. I would actually like to take number two first, B first, mosquito control, and discuss that update because I think that'll go around quickly. So I put together summary of all the discussion Barbara's had and various other things. And what we actually have now is, I think we need to approve what I sent out to you and have that as our document. So if the city or the city manager gets requests for more controlling mosquitoes to stop the spraying, we have this document ready to go. And they'll just available anyway. So is there any discussion about moving this on to give to the city manager to have this used? Adam?
I mean, I think we're good to go.
I think we're good to go. Jonathan?
Yeah, this looks good.
Hopefully this will end it.
Okay. So we're all in agreement then, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like a pretty level-headed approach.
Yeah.
That we finally got to.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so let me ask for a formal vote, motion to approve that letter, and we'll use that and send it to the city manager. Any else from the city?
Motion to approve.
Second, somebody?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's passed. We're done with that one. And any more comments come up about mosquito control? Stacy, if you hear anything or whatever, city manager, that's our statement there. It's done minimally and only
I hope the city manager does consider doing something to educate citizens about what they can do in on their own property to prevent mosquitoes breeding.
Yeah.
That would be
something maybe in the roars, whatever, maybe a way to do it, don't
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on, you know, those electronic boards that we have all over the place.
Yeah. They could do that there too, yeah. Okay.
Well, I think it's also nice that, I mean, even if you disagree with your letter, you can still, as a homeowner, opt out.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
I think it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a note to myself to contact Gregory Rose or mayor or somebody about educating citizens on the breeding conditions. See if we can get that, especially the old tires that are hanging around.
Right. And
okay,
trash.
Let's move.
Trash collects a lot of water too.
Yeah.
When it rains.
So we want to move on next to the sustainability strategic plan in draft form. We can talk about the first item, the biodiversity, ecosystems and habitat. There was an attachment that on the agenda announcement that came to you by email from CNON.
That is Ms. Brain's summary from...
Did you two have a chance to take a look at that?
Mm-hmm.
I actually did what I always do and procrastinate working on this. So what I ended up doing the other day was just typing up what I had come up with 5 years ago when I was first on the Green Practices Commission. And Jonathan and I worked on this a couple of times. I think I wrote it up and then we met and talked about it a little bit. But it was never presented to the full commission, as I remember, at that time. So this is it, basically, what I had written 5 years ago. It's pretty brief, but I think I wrote it that way because it's pretty practical steps.
Yeah.
So anyway, let
you
me
also
know what you think.
You aren't overloading people with words, if I get
no.
out to somebody.
Pretty
which,
concise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy with what you've got here. The question is, what do we do with it in terms of getting the city departments to do anything? Right now, we talk about responsible parties and who can work on this. Forestry Department right now is down to one person, the supervisor.
Right.
Yeah, Jacob Kaiser is it.
Oh, really? He doesn't have anybody working with him?
Nope. He's outsourcing everything. Last time I talked to him,
uh-huh.
he said he was all alone. So all he's doing, I think, is assigning other people to work or hiring it out to tree companies.
Yeah, I knew he was contracting out a lot, but I didn't know he'd lost all
yeah.
his
yes,
people.
Nobody, as far as I could, as far as you told me. And he was sharing with Parks Department staff.
Yeah, it obviously can't be done entirely with paid staff.
So I wonder, this work going on in Ruth Park Woods right now that
mm-hmm.
your city in Bloom is heading up.
Right.
This is a good model.
It is. That's exactly what I was thinking.
They've got a lot of people working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's 20-some-odd people involved, and maybe more than that.
I think more than that,
yeah.
We have several different work times.
Yeah.
Monday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, and weekend afternoon now,
yeah.
too.
I would be there, but my right knee won't allow me to.
Right.
I got surgery on Monday to take care of it, hopefully.
Well, if any of the rest of you are not doing anything on Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3, we'll be in the woods then.
It's supposed to be a warm day. Actually,
that's why we picked Sunday instead of Saturday.
Yeah,
Saturday will be frigid.
Stacy, you have any ideas maybe how we can carry forward on this, get people involved, or... it's going to have to be all volunteer, maybe, and there's so little, so few staff.
Yeah, I think to your point, our resources are stretched pretty thin. I'm just curious, I know we've talked about it, what was the mobilization process for the Ruth Park Woods? How did that get?
I asked
only because could that model be replicated in some
way? Well, really, the beauty of doing that project, the Ruth Park Woods project, with U City in Bloom is that they have a lot of volunteers.
Right,
I mean, not everybody shows up, of course, for every event that they do, every work day, but they have an awful lot of people that they send out word to. So,
well, it obviously occurred to somebody going through there, whether it was Kathy Freed or somebody else. And I worked on the woods for 15, 20 years probably. I've been up there on my own, mostly for bush honeysuckle. Before that, a man named Daniel Talon had gone through, killed off all the bush honeysuckle, took him 5 years, and it all started coming back, and I went up and started spraying for regrowth.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 2.5 years to go through the entire woods spraying new growth. And after 3 times, I ran out of steam. And so it's been a sort of little effort, but not enough people. I couldn't get any help.
I had actually thought about the Missouri Department of Conservation grant they have for this community stewardship grant. I think they might call it community conservation grant now. And I was familiar with that because I had actually applied for it a couple of times when I was still working at the county library for a couple of projects we wanted to do there. Didn't get the grant in those cases. But Kathy and I talked about that, and then we presented it to Jesse as how about we apply for this grant and see if we can actually take care of the invasives in the woods and plant new stuff and so on. And Jesse just was really fired up about it.
Yeah.
He got super enthusiastic about it because that's one of the things that he loves to do is that conservation type work.
Yeah.
So... he did most of the work on the grant writing. I did some editing and wrote the intro part to it. And the grant application was successful. So, and then we just started mobilizing people. Kathy and I had a few people that we brought in, but most of it was U City in Bloom.
Yeah.
And Judy Prangy, the executive director, I think, title is U City in Bloom. She was all for it too. So, we had their backing.
So, you know, Jesse is Jesse Gilbertson.
Yes.
Gilbertson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last name, yeah.
And then we have Theo Smith, too, who recently started working at the Green Center. I've forgotten his title, but he and Jesse knew each other from previous jobs with Forest Park Forever, working on conservation stuff. So he's involved, too. And, it grew from there.
Well, I guess my question is, like, with the forestry department, things of that nature, if they're planting or even subcontracting out to plant new trees, I would imagine they're not putting invasive species in, correct?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no, they're not.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So my question is, like the forestry department, parks department, aren't they kind of all abiding by what you have here? Or no?
In terms of what they're planting, yes. But I would guess that all of the parks are pretty well infested with invasive vines, if nothing else. Honeysuckle, bush honeysuckle, winter creeper vines. My local park, Malar Park, there's plenty of honeysuckle, which the parks department has cut down occasionally,
mm-hmm.
but if it's not treated or the
root just comes right back.
And then a lot of the fences bordering people's properties are covered with winter creeper vine, so that all invades the park.
And the push honeysuckle. Birds eat seeds on plants,
right.
And yards on the
right.
Fire,
right.
And seeds. And, I mean, I think what Jesse and you've seen in Bloom appreciate is that going through the woods and getting that cleaned up is going to be still be an ongoing project for a long time because of all the seed banks and the potential for more seeds and invasive plants to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they recognize this, and maybe maybe the strategic plan is fairly idealistic in terms of how many people we can get to work on this thing. You know, right now they're doing it in Ruth Park Woods, but there's so many other areas that are identified that need it. And all various parts of public land can use it, and all this effort in trying to get people with their own land to do things. I'm just not sure how we go about pushing this any further right now.
Well, we have the rest of the parts of the strategic plan to cover too. Maybe we should just go through all of those till we're satisfied with those sections and then present the whole thing. And kind of go from there. I mean, if the council and Gregory Rose like the concept, it seems to me, then we can kind of figure out, well, how do we go about doing it?
I like how you included the, under the metric, residents have easy access to information on appropriate tree species planting care and the importance of trees, and then a similar one for biodiversity. Residents have easy access to information on appropriate plants and their benefits, pesticides, and pests. I think those are, like, as a someone who just bought a house, those are things that I do wonder about, that I do have agency to do on my own property. And I don't know if maybe that's something that might actually go into resources or additional resources as a thing. Maybe that's something that ends up going into ROARs or finding a way to get that information accessible seems like a really direct, like it's just a matter of communication.
Right. And the UCity does have a partnership with Green Conservation Home, but I don't think it's a very active partnership at the moment. And I think even the the information as to the cost to residents is outdated on the website. So I think information on that could be a lot more prominent on our website, and people encouraged to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for new homeowners or, you know, existing homeowners, I think it's a great service. You get a lot for $30 now, not $25. But you do get a lot for that. And they help educate people about pesticide use and that kind of thing too.
Mm-hmm.
So pesticides will kill a lot of the things we don't want to kill, as well as the things that maybe we do want to kill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, doing that kind of, I mean, not just Bring Conservation Home, but listing all kinds of resources on the website or in ROARS, that's a pretty passive way to at least get some information out there.
Yeah.
So, and it seems like that could be done at fairly low cost. So.
Okay.
And maybe appeals for volunteers if we get to the point of, okay, we want to start removing invasives from Eamon Park or one of the smaller parks maybe to start with. Who would be interested in helping with that? And might be surprised at the number of people who do express interest. When we're working sometimes in the woods, you know, people just walking through, they often stop and chat and you know, they're just thrilled that we're doing this. And a few of them, I don't know if they've actually followed through yet, but a few of them have said, oh, we're going to sign up and volunteer.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
question of publicizing resources, publicizing what you want to do for private landowners. Try to get some more people involved in the public lands, other parks beyond Root Park Woods.
It seems like strategy one and strategy three are very similar in that one of them, strategy one is to remove and strategy three is to include. So one is remove invasive plant species from public land to replace with locally adapted native plants. And then three is promote inclusion of a variety of locally adapted native plants on public and private land. And I wonder if that could be consolidated, because it's, in looking at the strategic plan, there's like two main avenues. One is primarily to do with invasive plants and native plants, and then the other one is primarily to do with urban tree cover as a something relative to like shade. And
mm-hmm.
But I wonder if that just might clarify it to condense. So
yeah.
It's like two main approaches to ecosystems. That it's about tree canopy, native and invasive, and those are the kind of two avenues.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. I can tinker with that a little more.
Because I think the metrics would probably impact each other on one and three.
Mm-hmm. Should there be another strategy? That seems like just two strategies is a little bit skimpy.
Yeah,
I understand.
Maybe the third strategy could be the education component. How would that work, do you think?
Mm. I think it'd be good. So, if it's a, well, I guess we're kind of talking about it, like the inclusion of like existing resources and partnerships on
mm-hmm.
the website and support from the commission to like maintain those partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like at a municipal level, there's already resources that are out there.
Yeah.
Right.
That kind of assumes that people go to UCity's website looking for information.
Yeah, they probably don't.
And they may need something to get them in motion.
Mm.
And it's very passive having something there on a website. You really need something to get people interested and motivated to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real question about a lot of this stuff. UCity and Bloom can help go with the parks and everything. But you want to go for the private landowners, increasing urban tree canopy, promote native tree planting. It's a question how to communicate that and get it done.
Does every resident get roars?
I'm pretty sure.
I believe every household.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we don't know how many people get it and actually read it.
Yeah, but there's also a limit. I mean, Jenny Wendt was talking about she was limited to 500 words or something like this in an issue.
Yeah.
So there's not, if there are other things of higher priority, the city wants in there.
Yeah. There could be something very brief in there that would refer people to information on the website.
Yeah, you could do something in there about, to find out about planting urban trees, planting trees or whatever on your property. Look up this on the website. That's a good idea. So we could suggest that. Put something in the into ROARS and look at the city website.
So if the person who works in the forestry division, I'm looking at the metric under the tree canopy. If the person who works in the forestry division said that the tree canopy was not healthy or was starting to become like monoculture in some places, what would the plan say he could do? Or like what is he empowered to do something in response to that?
Yeah, I know he has been, this was probably right before the pandemic, he was able to get some software to start doing a tree inventory.
Oh, great.
And he was actually able to do that in the third ward. And of course there are areas in the third ward that are really short on trees, and like anything else, trees age out too and get damaged in storms, and then we have emerald ash borer that's killing a lot of the ash trees, and so a lot of those have already been removed, and I know that was contracted out, and planting of replacement trees was contracted out too. So I think he's just contracting out that kind of thing. But then it all comes down to budget. So
yeah.
Under a metric, could we say something like to maintain 2018 levels of tree canopy cover? Because is there something about that, whenever he was able to do that assessment, that might at least help someone looking at the plan know whether we're doing a good job on it or not.
Yeah, I think.
Because if he's got the numbers, then that's amazing. Then
for the third ward, I think he got some grant funds. I know this is Jacob Kaiser, the forester we're talking about. He got some grant funds to get the software to do the inventory. But I think he needed more funds in order to complete the inventory. And he was considering that as a first step
mm-hmm.
to yeah. finish doing the inventory and then decide, you know, what needs to be planted. So really, we need his input on that section.
I think he was working on city trees only as well.
Sorry?
He's working only on city-owned trees.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Street trees, yeah. basically. Yeah.
Yeah. There was another inventory effort 12, 14 years ago
mm-hmm.
when Norma Schechter was city forester. And I was on that crew. We got about 25 or 30 volunteers together. And they educated us on how to identify trees and what to look for in terms of the quality. And then we went throughout the city in groups of two or three people and assigned areas and took an inventory on the quality of the trees, worried about bad hanging limbs, whatever danger. We had to sort of judge the danger of the tree posing problems. And all that was put into some software and put in inventory. But then it turns out it wasn't updated. The next forester didn't update it. And then the software became too old and wouldn't work on the computers. So Jake Kreiser basically had to start all over again.
Right.
I think he still had access to the old inventory, but he couldn't update or do anything with it. And so he got some new software, and he wanted to get $140,000 grant or money from the city to go out and hire some company to go out and do an inventory of all the trees and on city land. I suggested to him about doing the volunteers the way they've been done before. But some reason or other that didn't fly. You know, we were amateurs, and I'm sure we made some mistakes. But he wanted it done professionally, somebody who knew what was going on. And so I hadn't heard of it being done in the Third Ward, some of it, and maybe he hired somebody, got some money for hiring somebody, either a grant or whatever.
He did use, did hire people to do that.
I'm not sure if the city had the money for it, but a grant or something. Anyway, he got money and had somebody do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was at least partially grant funded,
yeah.
maybe entirely. But as far as I know, that's all that's been done so
yeah.
far. And then the pandemic hit, so
mm-hmm.
that kind of
so it makes sense
stopped a lot of things.
As like part of the plan to recommend completing, like, is that something we want to support as
yeah.
part of the plan to say,
yeah.
If you really are interested in the tree canopy, we should know what we have as a baseline?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe to establish that as like the new minimum.
Another possibility is to get another squad of volunteers to go out and do this. The city doesn't have money for it, we can't get grants. We can get a bunch of volunteers to go out and do this.
Seems like a great thing for like high school students who have energy and have to learn things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know any high school students.
You know, the education part wasn't too bad. We met a few times here,
mm-hmm.
and then he took us out and showed us different kinds of trees
mm-hmm.
and identified them. And I remember in part of here where I was, I ran across one tree I didn't know what it was, but I managed to grab a leaf off it, took it to Norma, and she told me what it was. Okay, fine. Tree of Heaven, I knew what it was. It's an invasive,
wow.
but nonetheless.
You had a good name. What a good story.
It's
yeah.
yeah, good name. It's a terrible tree.
Yeah.
Really invasive.
Well, we should cut it down. We should put it in there.
Yeah, and then when you cut it down, it will sprout all along its roots.
Oh, wow.
You have to
cut it down, you have to paint the stump with
yeah.
20% Roundup.
Huh.
And then it kills. Then it goes down and kills off the tree. The conservation department developed this process, procedure, a number of years ago. If you're only going in and you're cutting something down at the base to kill almost any plant, spraying with 1.5% of the old general, spraying, leaf spraying, Roundup does not do it. We need about 18 or 20% Roundup. You paint that on the stump, and then it takes a while, goes in, and kills off everything underground. That's the way to prevent these plants from coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Daniel Talon was doing in Leaf Park Woods with all the high bush honeysuckle cut down, 20-foot stuff. And you paint all those, and that worked. You got good kill on those. Even in the wintertime, you found if it was over 40 degrees Fahrenheit, he was able to get 95% kill by doing that.
And that's how we're doing it now, too.
Yeah.
Winter creeper is the vine that we've been trying to remove as much of it from trees as possible, because when it climbs up is when it can reproduce, you know, flowers and fruits, and then the birds eat the seeds and carry the seeds. And sometimes it can develop these massive roots and stems if it's been there for a long time. So the bigger ones we can cut at the base and treat. Mm-hmm. And smaller ones we can kind of rip out of the ground and rip the roots out.
The question, what do we advocate for? I guess one is to try to continue on with this volunteer effort and be getting more volunteers, either for tree inventory again, or maybe get more people if we can. I don't know how to go attack some more parks in addition to Ruth Park Woods, but there's so much to be done there still. It's going to take years to get that done.
I know, and that means that you City in Bloom is probably stretched a little thin.
Yeah.
Too. So
if we, you know, if we put in a recommendation for completing a tree inventory, what happens to that? Like, if it becomes a plan, like, does someone read through this and they say, well, we don't have money for that? Or what actions does the plan set up?
What I do is I communicate that to the city manager's office, and then he, I think, pretty much takes the action from there. Like, this would be a possible assignment for the parks department, depending on
parks,
the budget.
Forestry, one or the other, yeah. I talked to Jacob Black this once, I go talk to him again, or I could even go talk to Darren Dunkel, I could talk to them about it too as a possibility. Just to go back and set up this program, I'm sure that somewhere where there was the name of the volunteers that Norma had on that crew, some of them are still around and still alive, and maybe get a few more people. We'd rely on Jacob to do the training for us as to what to look for, but that could be done.
But would it, so I guess what, there's two paths. There's like the one path where it becomes his problem. He's like, well, I don't have staff for this. And then the other path is that it requires some budgeting that there may not be money for. And so I wonder if there's a phase where we reach out to, is it Jacob? Is that his name?
Yeah.
To reach out to him and say, like, does this help you, or does this hurt your day to day? Or how can this plan support his work and like, you know, elevate the things that he has prioritized? I wonder if I'm not saying to table it necessarily, but I wonder if we could get his feedback to say, like, are we working in concert with his goals?
I think we definitely need his feedback, yeah.
So I don't know, I'm not saying that he has to, like, come and talk to us, but I wonder if we could just send him the document and say,
sure,
like, what would the things be that would help you, and how can we kind of help you advocate for those within the realm of possibility of staff and money?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Because I love trees, but I don't want to make the guy's life worse. Like, the GPC said what? So I just want to be as like reasonable as possible.
Yeah. Now this would all just be going on public land. How we go about it on private land is something else.
Yeah.
All we can do is educate and encourage the...
What about a tree festival? I would go totally buy
a
tree.
Yeah, Jacob had wanted to do one in April of 2020.
Oh, yeah.
But we all know what happened in spring of 2020. So we kind of...
Yeah, we're coming up on just almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
It was like March 12th that WashU shut down. We were like, wow, can you believe it?
Yeah.
But like, coming back to those ideas might be kind of nice to...
I think I had emailed Jacob a while ago, just a month or so ago, to ask if he had thought about doing something for Arbor Day. That's when he was...
Even a partnership with the... the UC Farmers Market on Del Mar?
Yeah.
That's a really wonderful space. Tons of people go.
Oh, yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
But
It's a great model.
I don't know how to integrate it. It's not necessarily part of the plan, but that seems like part of education. I don't know if there's a way of. It's not a municipal thing, right? It's a privately owned.
Yeah, there's an agreement between the city and the Midtown markets, I think. Deb Henderson runs it.
I will say Jacob is open to help. I've, in my walks around, I have identified various trees that look like they're dying or need some analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sent him an email. And actually one time I think I just happened to be talking to him about something else, and I mentioned a tree on Mulberry that I knew would clearly look dead. And 2 hours later it was gone. He went out there and had it taken care of, or did it himself, I don't know which. Even so, every time I recommended something to him, he thanked me. He doesn't have the time to get out and inventory, go through the streets and look for things that need attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been able to help him out a little bit, but we sort of need it. Even if we didn't actually go out in one squad to do it at one time for inventory, we just had some people trained to go out and look for trees in danger or trees that are dead, you know, and cover enough area and notify.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once a year, notify Jacob about those, and he could get some work done on them.
Mm-hmm.
We did, me and Kathy Fries and several other neighbors and friends planted 11 trees on my street almost a year ago now. And I had sent in a request to Jacob that, hey, you know, we need more street trees on my street, and he came and, you know, verified that. He said, great, you know, how would you like to plant them? So we did. We planted them, and a couple of us helped water them when it doesn't rain for a while. And
yeah.
And it's great. And he did hire, now that he has to contract that everything out, he did hire a company to remove one of the ash trees a couple of doors down from me that was pretty hazardous looking, and also hired a company to plant a new tree. And I happened to see it right after it had been planted, and I asked the guys if they had watered it, and they didn't have any way to water it. So I got water and watered it.
Yeah.
But in doing that, I noticed that they hadn't removed any of the burlap. They hadn't removed any of the ropes around it. So I removed all that as much as I could, and I emailed Jacob, and he told me that, you know, it's surprising how even so-called professional landscapers don't plant trees properly. And he said, I have it written into the contract exactly how they're supposed to do it. So he had to make them do it all over again, you know, rectify that mistake.
So he tried it. So the original group that Norman Shepard set up was called Tree Keepers. And Jacob set up another group called Tree Keepers too, but with a different intent than the group I'd been on years ago. And this was mostly to have people go out and water new trees and, you know, and try to do some minor trimming if need be.
He does have, well, he doesn't actually have them yet, but he's hoping to buy this product. It's actually called a tree diaper. And it's some kind of fabric, I think, that absorbs water and then releases it slowly. So that would be great for new trees. I mean, if you had volunteers planting trees with these tree diapers and then initially put some water on them, and then when it rains, this fabric will hold on to that water, then it really increases their survival rate.
Okay.
So.
For this thread of the discussion anyway, does urban forestry have a role to play? I mean, they're another commission that...
Yeah.
I mean, do they... I was on urban forestry 100 years ago, but I don't know what they're like now. Mm-hmm. But would they have a role in this type of company?
Oh, yeah.
My wife was on the Urban Forestry Commission when James Crow was the forester. And she gave up after 3 years and said, oh, there was some of the fights they were having with homeowners who didn't want dead trees taken down or wanted more live trees taken down because they're objecting for leaves they had to rake or gumballs they had to remove. Mm. And so he was constantly, they were getting people coming in the commission demanding the trees be taken down. I had to argue about this whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing now.
Yeah, I'm not. Kathy Fries is actually on that commission now. But I'm not sure they even have a quorum at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to.
I'll tell you what. Let's, in terms of wrapping this up, why don't I take it upon myself to go talk to Jacob?
Okay.
Relay our discussion you've had.
Yeah.
With Jacob. You've got some minutes. If you can send your minutes on to me in the next few days or so. I'm going to be out of commission probably for 2 weeks on the 14th. This Monday I've got my surgery, but when I can get out and get around, I don't know. but eventually I'll get to be able to talk to him. And so let me, I've got some notes here. Let me take a responsibility of going to talk to him. I do this because I'm on good terms with him already. We've been along pretty well, so I'm probably the best one to do this at this point.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. And I can talk to him about he's on the public land, and then this business of getting and increasing tree canopy on private land, this is going to be an educational process somehow or other. I like the idea, we sort of have something on the website, put something, just a, you know, a 3 or 4 sentence thing in Roars, a small part of the place on Roars, to tell people to go to the website to find out what to look for in terms of planting trees, what's desirable, what does well. In urban areas, and let people go to that. And I can have, if we get to do that, I can have Jacob write up something to put on the city website for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yeah. Tell him I'm not trying to find more work for him to do.
I understand.
Right.
I understand. but he also, I asked him to take a look at one tree in my place one time, and I said, okay, I'll go hire Draney to do it. He said, no, he'll come out and do it. It's a quick, simple thing. He loves to cut trees and work on them. And
yeah.
So we had, you know, I needed some branches trimmed at the top. There were 3 or 4 or 5 things at the top, and you really want one going up so you have a center,
part
of the tree going
all
the way up. And so we came up and trimmed off some of the side stuff. And the tree's doing very well now. But he wants to get out there with his saws and do things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we have time to get to Dark Skies right now.
What was that?
Dark Skies is on the agenda.
Yeah. I didn't have much on that. Just Adam, you had mentioned last week a concern about safety. You thought that, you know, people would, if we had some kind of dark skies ordinance, people would be worried about the safety angle. So I think I sent you all a link to Dark Skies, International Dark Sky Association, whatever it is. And they did have a number of studies. I didn't actually read all of them, but one I remember being referenced was in Chicago, it was found that brightly lit alleyways actually led to more crime than not well-lit alleyways. So there is information out there anyway on the safety angle, so I think we could cover that.
Okay. Cece, you want to give us a council liaison update?
Sure. Last week we had the State of the City address, so that's the mayor and the city manager talking about the State of the City. Talked about highlights. I encourage you to go to the UCity website right there. I think on the front page, I think it takes you to YouTube, but there's the video of the remarks that were made. It talked about several things, wide ranging conversation, Isle 170, the quick trip development that's happening, several other things, the overall financial health of the city, which is good. One thing that the mayor discussed that's exciting is the old Pete SureSafe across from Hartman's Towing. It's just a big field right now, if you're familiar with that area. Can't say the name of the establishment, but that property, as I understand it, has been purchased, and there's going to be some development there that I think will be pretty exciting. So that's, you know, three more substantial developments taking place on Olive in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that. We have a city council meeting coming up this Monday. We had one 2 weeks ago, and again, all that's available on the UCB website. In the State of the City address, there were remarks about Prop F, and I know folks are analyzing the information, which is also on the city website, and coming to their own conclusions about whether or not they think that's appropriate. There's a question and answer form, for lack of a better term, on the website that I think addresses a lot of the common questions people have, but certainly if you have others that aren't addressed in that document, I'd encourage you to reach out to the council folks or the city to get those questions answered.
I'll send you my concerns.
Yeah. Please do.
Yeah. I'm sort of sitting on the fence right now to whether to vote for it or not. Mm-hmm. There's some really structural things about the way, I told Cena, I don't take a minute here to do it. About some, the way things have been handled long term. And I think they've really helped to put the city in the bind right now and being way behind on its pension material. One is the fact that I was on a couple of financial advisory task force a long time ago. And one of the things I observed was the pension board could just raise the benefits to the retirees and future retirees. They can do it at will without worrying about the city budget whatsoever. They obligated the city to then go in and fund the pension fund to keep it up to date, so you know it's not falling down to 50% funded, it's higher, closer to 90 or whatever. And they just had the ability to do this on their own. Nobody checking on them whatsoever. I understand the pensioners probably needed the increase, cost of living increases, but I was very bothered by the control, lack of control. And the second thing is, there's been discussion of moving to a defined contribution plan instead of a defined benefit plan, which is the pension. And that's been pushed away because the problem is that if you try to put everybody in the current plan, the pension plan, into defined contribution, you'd have to buy them all out. Right? It's very expensive. And defined contribution, and the city knows what its costs are going to be. They aren't subject to market forces or anything else. And then the employees who are in this defined contribution then have this money invested for them in mutual funds or whatever. What a bunch of companies did in the 1990s, rather than putting everybody into these plans and paying the cost to shift them over, they did it little by piecemeal. They said, and that happened to me when I was working at Monsanto then, that people who up to 3 years employment with the company, they're moved there, they're bought out and moved out, their new employees are automatically put in the defined contribution plan, 401k, whatever it's going to be called. People beyond that, say up to 10 years employment with the company, their pension was kept in place, but it was frozen. It wasn't going to grow anymore. Their contributions to the company then would also be defined contribution. Anybody beyond 10 years then was kept in the plan and kept alive, and it grew and changed, and they got credit for the extra years they worked for the company in terms of what your pension would be. And so that way they got into it gradually without the huge upfront costs. And over a period of time then, the pension fund is gone because there's nobody left to be in it, pretty much. And the employer that is free of these fluctuating instances of what the costs are going to be. And so your city, I actually proposed that when I was on one of those financial advisory task force, and it was thrown away. No, we can't do that. But had they done this, 15, 20 years ago, whatever, we wouldn't be in the same bind we're in now. And so what I see now is us not wanting to do this now is we're kicking the can on down the road to the next generation to fight to pay the extra cost of trying to keep the pension system up to snuff. So those are my concerns. Mm-hmm. And I guess I need to put these in a city manager doesn't want to hear about it. City mayor doesn't want to hear about it. But I've got to do something about it, get this publicized. If whether this thing passes or not, Proposition F, we need to do something about getting some, you know, basic changes in how the things begin. But there is an organized group of people who are out there trying to get voters to oppose this Proposition F. They approached me. I gave them what my concerns were, but I declined to join the group. They're good people, but I didn't want to get involved in, for a number of reasons. So I just told them, here are my concerns. And you may be hearing more from me. I don't know. Anybody have anything for closing round?
The 2040 visionary meeting is actually right now. The task force, there's another one if you want to sign up for it on Saturday. Other than that, that's about
it. If we gave our input a long time ago, we don't need to do it again, I would presume.
The survey, that's correct. This is like a think tank. It's in person. I believe tonight it's at Jackson Park, and Saturday, might be here actually, yeah. Saturday morning.
Yeah.
What's your Saturday? What time?
I want to say
I remember seeing that, but I couldn't.
Saturday, I believe it's 9 a.m., and it's here at the community center. You can sign up if you like. They have gotten, it was a slow start to the response to the survey, but I believe that number is up over 500 now.
Okay.
Whoa.
So, it'll be a lot to digest.
I know for a while it was like at 200, yeah. And then it jumped up to, I want to say, 43 was the last that I saw. So it seems like things are getting out, and I know the think tank that is tonight is different than the one that's on Saturday.
Okay.
So...
I participated in something that the city manager put together with some outside consultants who was there, and they had a few of us on Zoom talking about various aspects,
mm-hmm.
things that might go on, what changes might need to be made. So I participated in that. And, okay.
Yeah, the company that the city hired is actually, I believe, in charge of it all.
Okay.
And then we're there to give input. Maybe.
Yeah. City staff, you need people who can generate these ideas and work on this thing. Mm-hmm. City staff is in a position to do that. Anything else from anybody? I'm going to turn the meeting. I think we're about 7 o'clock on the nose, pretty much. 7:01.
Thank you, everyone. Perfect.
Okay, thank you all for coming.
Thanks for being flexible on time.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to have a quorum.
Yeah.
So are we meeting then next Thursday, Sinead? On Zoom, or how's that going to work then?